So I just pray, Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the life which is in Christ, the same life which is in the Word. And you came to make us wise unto salvation, as now in the Word making us wise unto the end of salvation, and to the last step of the way. And we thank you, Lord, that we have not been left by ourselves all through the ages. We have had the inner light within, but now we have had not only inner light within, but an outer light also. And the inner light, witnessing to the outer light, shows of what source and manner it is. And we pray, therefore, Lord, that we will have a witness in our heart tonight and a help by that Holy Spirit within, in perfect rapport with the great Holy Spirit without, whose flesh is the Word, and eating and living on it will put on immortality and come to the place where bypassing death will be caught up into a rapture. Lord, we're depending on you tonight and believe you help us to that end through the study of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The danger of not using notes is very evident in my life, because you get your anointing before you come into the pulpit. And if I don't have my notes down after literally hours of putting them into order, my mind is spinning with 100 scriptures that belong to the subject, and it becomes terribly difficult to line them up without putting them down on paper so that I can go from point to point and weave back and forth. However, we started Sunday morning showing you that there was a chronology in the first age that was repeated in the last age, because Alpha is Omega. And we know that that's true from the book of Revelation, but way back in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I presume it's the third chapter, I suppose, is it? I don't know. I never seem to know where anything is found if I don't put it down in print. But it's there somewhere. I could even be in the wrong book half the time, you know. Song for Ecclesiastes. No, it's not. That's got to be Ecclesiastes. Yeah, it's the 14th verse, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, the third chapter. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, for God doeth it, that men should fear before him, and that which hath been now, and that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, in the end book of Revelation, God himself puts himself forward as Alpha and Omega, which means that he is bound to be at the end what he was in the beginning. And that is why Brother Branham said that he who appeared to the Jews as he did in the days of his flesh was duty-bound to appear to the Gentiles, and we showed you that in the third chapter or second of the book of Acts, where Peter says he appeared first to you. And if there's a first, there would have to be at least a second, if not more than a second. Otherwise, he would have simply said he appeared to you. But when he used the word first, he let us know there'd be at least a second. And there is a chronology then that we began to view in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is speaking, and I started there. I don't know why, but I was just led to start there. Good any place. I could maybe start someplace else also. But you starting there, I can revert back to all the rest of it, up to chapter 10 and so on. He said, "Follow me as I am all... even as I also am of Christ, be followers." And the next verse says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you." And here we find that Paul is speaking to them concerning the fact that he is following Christ according to the precepts that God gave him through the pillar of fire, because he said, "I'm called a heretic, by the way that I worship God. And he went to the Old Testament to prove everything that he taught in the New Testament, and by revelation was able to relate it to Jesus Christ. Now, he then goes on to let the church know that the headship of the church is Christ. And he could well say the head of God is Christ. Or say God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of the woman. And the woman particularly, here I am typing, in the spiritual as the bride, which was in that time the true church. You would call it the original church. And already that church was getting into sin even as the woman first got into sin. And you'll find that that's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'm jealous over the godly jealousy, the law of the jealous husband. He figures his wife's been fooling around with somebody, but there's no proof he hasn't caught her in the act. So therefore he's got to take her to the temple to give her the test that God gave, which is the word test. And, of course, the word test there was, they take the sweepings off of the floor and a bowl of water mixed by the priest, and she drank it, and if she was, had not violated the law of her husband, he was just a suspicious person, nothing would happen. But if this was true, then as women's bowels or stomach begins to swell in pregnancy, this would cause her to begin to swell as though she were pregnant, showing that she had fooled around and yet had not actually gotten pregnant. So then, of course, she would be put to death. Now, also, in Timothy, Paul warns in Timothy that the woman must listen in silence. She cannot teach or usurp authority over the man. And that's in the church, it's in the home, it's everywhere. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And you can see by verse 15 what the transgression was, for it mentions childbearing. Now, if she'd have been simply sucking on lemons, he'd have said from then on her mouth would pucker up and she'd be pretty sour. You can tell right here what happened in the Garden of Eden was she got pregnant by the serpent, who wasn't an animal or other animals, of course, in the sense that we are animals also. He wasn't like he is today. And he was without a doubt, the boa constrictor, because he was a giant and he was black in color. But the blackness in color does not mean that it has anything to do with the Negro race, because they got their color by the soil and by the sun and various attributes of nature. And you must remember, all of us have the flesh of the serpent in us, so you wouldn't be too happy if you were trying to call your brother the black man serpent seed, because you're just a number for qualification. That area is a totally black person is. Actually, I believe that the blackness of the serpent is coming out in the sense of all the various colors, and I don't think that any one of us would really qualify to look like really Adam and Eve looked like in their actual original color. But anyway, the thought here is that he is, and I am bringing out here, typing the woman in the church, because it's bringing in the headship of God with Christ in Christ. In Paul in Ephesians uses this in type as Christ married to a woman, which is Christ, the head of the bride. And the headship lies there. Now, you will notice in here that Paul is placing his headship as an apostle with the Word. And that Word came from Christ, who is the Word. Now, therefore, there is only one headship that the church can possibly have, and that is the headship of the Word, and Christ is the Word. And in the last day, Christ appearing amongst us has appeared by means of the veil of the flesh of the Word, because God cannot be seen without some creature form, and the creature form is the flesh of the Word. And the misunderstanding and the constant quoting of Brother Branham's quotes on God in human flesh and all those things have brought idolatry amongst us until really Mount Olympus has nothing on the Branham message, so-called, for in this case God came down and had two wives and five children. I'm sure God could do better than that if he wanted women. So you see, the whole thing is a rotten fallacy if you don't understand the Scripture. And you don't understand doctrine. You quote, doesn't mean a hill of beans. It can destroy you. Now, he mentions here that even concerning reproduction, it says, neither was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Well, the point is this. It was, did God come on the scene for what? He came on the scene for the woman. So therefore, the woman had to be there in order to give God the reason of his being. So the bride was created for Christ. Now then it says, but neither is the man without the woman. Well, you just try and have a bride without a bride. That is, you try to have sons and daughters unto God without a bride. You try to have Christ reproduced without a bride. See? You see your typing as you go along there. Then here it brings out the symbols of authority, and the symbols of authority are very, very simple, that a man simply must have his hair cut, and a woman cannot have her hair cut. And it says even nature teaches that. Now, I of course, you're over a barrel right now, and I couldn't get a fair response from you. But let's just pretend that you don't know anything about the message. And you don't know anything about long hair and short hair. You men are just a bunch of, carnal indulgers. And you're looking over a woman who's really got sex appeal. And I want to ask you flat, raise your hands. How many of you men tonight really believe that a woman is sexier with her hair cut? Now watch carefully. Have the guts to do it. Or do you believe a woman is sexier, a real woman, with her hair long? Let me see your hand. I've always been that way. I've only known one man in this message who said different, and he left it for a guy in India. No woman looks like a woman with short hair. Now, if you're born, your hair won't grow. I'd go so far as to suggest you buy it away. Now, a lot of people don't like me talking like this, but Brother Branham said you could. Brother Branham even said, if your hair is brown, don't tint it another color, but if it gets kind of streaky, funny looking as you get older, you could tint it the same color you were when you were younger. Makes your husband feel good, makes you feel good, everybody feels good. Except some of you folk with tongues long enough to lick the jam off a doorknob, and you're so self-righteous it's pitiful. You don't even belong here. You can squirm if you want, or just get happy. I don't give a rip. I'm saying, but the prophet said, but there's too many people out God, out Scripture, the Scripture, no prophet, the prophet. Ha! You're out of it, because you outed everything. You took too many votes and voted yourself out of office. Now, Paul here says even nature teaches, and that's why Brother Branham said the church can learn all about God in a limited sense through nature, the continuity of nature. It says right here, say, man's natural. Man naturally doesn't want long hair. Woman naturally should want long hair. In other words, it shows a reverence comes deeply to the male toward God, and there is a deep reverence in the woman toward God, and it's manifested. See? Manifested here in this outer symbol. And then it says, if any man see to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. In other words, Paul said, here, there's nothing outside the word of Almighty God, and I am giving you what God told me. Now, God told him that there had to be this symbol within the church, this sign of the proper understanding of authority. And now he goes on to say, I've got something to mention here to you. I understand there's divisions amongst you. And he said, I partly believe it, and because, he said, it's got to be made manifest. Brother Branham said there's three kind of believers in every group. Unbelievers, make believers, and true believers. Now don't look at each other and try to figure it. Because Brother Branham also said the person who's sure he's going to make it could not make it many times, and the person who thought for sure he wouldn't make it is one that gets there. He said, that's the time you figure you got it all figured out. He said, that's the time you really missed it. Now he said, there's divisions among you. And then I liken that on Sunday morning, everybody taking his own dinner. Everybody taking his own quote. And you know they get drunk on it. They get drunk on that spirit. That spirit is so strong, I've said for years, and you people have heard me, some of you more intimate with me in private conversation. I have said that the spirit of those who believe that Brother Branham must come back would one day turn to a deity spirit, because Brother Branham said he did not kill those snakes, the deity spirit. They got into the waters, and waters are people. And unconsciously, they would make him God. Until it came out about 2 years ago, certain person said, William Marion Branham, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a lie from the pit of hell. William Branham is not the Logos. I was not in William Branham. See? See what nonsense? What nonsense? And where did it come from? It came from getting off of that word. See? Leaving that proper headship. Now, so they get drunken. And you say, what do you mean they get drunken? They get all steamed up. The wine of stimulation. I never saw people run until they got a funny revelation. Like Harold Marcondes said to one fellow, he stayed home all these years until he got the thunder so-called revelation out of New York. And he began running around, run. Harold said, I just admitted now. He said, how come you didn't run before? Good thinking, Harold. I never thought of that myself. See? Now he said, I received the Lord when I delivered unto you. And he went on, he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. And what was it? It was the outward manifestation of muddling the word and leaving the headship of the word. And they got sick. Now you show me where sickness comes any other way than being off the word, because sin and unbelief is what, and unbelief is the original sin, and everything else has come out of sin. See? Now, in other words, there is a place where the church can be, and the church will come to this place. When that word has full preeminence, there will not be one sick day left in the people living here. You're going to be like Abraham, chained back to the youth. To be taken off the face of the earth in the rapture. Alright, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I'm relating to the fact there'll not be one sick day left. And you, we saw in the scripture in the book of Hebrews, the second, the third, the fourth chapter, verses 12 and 13, our very hour in which we live. That is, he said here, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, asunder soul and spirit. Join the marrow, discern thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that was proven when William Branham could pin a meeting and say, we don't know if you'll come, we'll ask him to come. He said, he's here. Then he'd stand there and say what no living person could ever say. It's not found anywhere in Scripture. And he said, now, he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take every spirit into captivity in this building for the glory of God. And there wasn't one person could hide if you tried. Not one person can hide. Now you tell me a man could do that? It's impossible. I've seen these witch doctors, and of course I'm one myself. I've seen these fortune tellers and these clairvoyants and all that. Let me tell you flat, brother, sister, they weren't like William Branham. Because William Branham plowed with the Word of God. Those guys plowed out there in the arid desert, which brings forth nothing but a wind and a storm and destruction and death. But what he went with brought forth life. See? And there he was. And we've got the very same thing right today. When the word is truly honored and loosed and released amongst the people, as it should be, and it brings tremendous results even to the place where it's going to bring about a change in the body, and the body is completely transformed into a glorified body without even going to death. See? Now, then Paul goes on here, and he begins to set the church in order. And he sets the church in order by talking about spiritual gifts. And he said, you know that I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the pneumatic, or the charismatics, the spirituals. He said, you were Gentiles carried away, blindly hurried not to these dumb idols, even as you're led. Wherefore, if you understand no man speaking by the Spirit of God, call Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Right here, he's telling you that if unless you're truly filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't even see what I'm talking about. Well, Paul talked on the 11th chapter. And then if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you'll get all involved in gifts and other items right down in here, which you don't need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to get them, because they're just gifts. See? Now, here's where the devil can get in. Because he talks about the fact that they were carried away into orgies, blindly led. They were carried away through what we call wumping up, working themselves up. They were used to doing things like that. In other words, they tried to bring on a spirit within the church. See, they tried to work up something. Don't ever try to work up anything. See, it won't work. Now he said different gifts, same spirit. Different ways they work, same Lord. Different operations, same God. But he said the manifestation given in order that people may profit. One's given this, one's given that, one's given the other thing. See? But he said, sir, he said, that's natural. You got a body, arms and legs and eyes and nose and throat and teeth and gums and everything. They're necessary. They all work together. And he said, sure, he said, all of your body's not as pretty as another part of the body. Some people have such beautiful eyes. I've seen people with beautiful eyes and ugly noses. And I've seen them with lovely noses and not so nice eyes. And you know, they kind of snap and crackle and pop. And you just better stay away from that one. Tell you right now, because they'll snap and pop right back at you. That's one thing that men never did learn. My brother-in-law was up on that years ago. I used to go with a girl. She was quite a pretty blonde, and then I saw her parents, and I knew what she'd be like later in life, and that sort of you know, settled it. And we quit right there. I wasn't going to take a chance in the future. and I started going with Allison, and my brother-in-law is a man that Brother Branham would have loved. He was one of the finest men that ever walked in shoe leather. I mean, he was, not because my brother-in-law, because that's nothing, you know. But he was a fine person. And when he knew her, he said, now, he said, boy, you're getting ready. He said, notice the difference in the eyes of the two women. Now, she might pop a little bit the odd time, but in 40 years of marriage, she sure had got the sparkle of love, but she ain't got the sparkle of, you know, get him. And that's a good thing, you see. Brother Branham got that lesson learned by the old cowhand who said, see that cow up there? He said, you thought she was good. She'll never be a mammy to her calves. Why, she's got that wild look in her eye. But everybody was bidding for that little kind of thing that looked, you know, didn't look so tremendous, but she had that real sweet, soft look in her eye. Well, she'd make a good mother to the little baby she had. Well, all right. Now, you saw some people have beautiful eyes and the right kind of eyes. They're soft and tender. And you know, Leah had soft, tender eyes. But Jacob, he sort of went for the high-spirited gal, you know. And I think God sort of just tried to teach Jacob a lesson. I guess he did learn a lesson because it was Rachel that hid the little gods and things and could have caused a real stir. So some people have something going for them this way, and some people have something going against that way. And God says, no, he said, don't we ever worry about any of those things, because it's all a part of the body. You know, if it's a part of the body, it's all equal. And God always makes everything up like your body makes everything up. And so then he began talking here at the end how that he put the he set the ministry of the word over the gifts. See, that's what he did. Then he said here in verse 31 of the 12th chapter, but covet earnestly or desire earnestly the best gifts, but yet I show a more excellent way. Now, when you get here, it's a pity that there is a chapter 13. There should be no chapters in the Bible. Now, that's the way the Holy Spirit wrote it. And I don't think anybody should have come along and tried to make it into chapters and verses. Because what it is Paul the Apostle here speaking, and as he's speaking or writing under the anointing, the thoughts begin to flow, and they're based one upon another. See, like Brother Branham said, everything's like a Roman candle. Out of the Bible comes the ages, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials, out of the vials come the plagues, and so on. Then Brother Branham took the seventh seal and did the same thing with it. Now he says here, as he's talking along and growing and warming up in this subject here, he suddenly stops and says, now look, he said here, earnestly desire the best gift. Now, that's not talking about an individual. That's talking to the individual about the church. Want the best for the people. See, because he's talking of many members making up one group. See, now, as he says, though I speak tongue men and angels, I am not love. I'm just sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, and though I gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, have all faith, move mountains, and have not loved nothing, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor. Now show me where that's a gift. I'm no gift in the sense of these here that he's mentioning. Then he says, I give my body to be burned. Well, where's that in a gift? See? Now, what he's trying to tell the people here, it's good to desire for the church the very best that can be manifested in the spiritual realm of gifts, but there's something that is better than wanting that, though you don't stop wanting the other. See? It's just like Brother Branham mentioned, he said, you young people look at a sex queen and you get all messed up. There's hardly a person living that doesn't desire intercourse physically, especially if he's a man. He can't help himself because there's a pressure there. But you don't have to marry just anything. See, just like years ago, one person said, he said, well, he said, you know, the sex is just like, it's just like the fact that's one of the things of life. It's one of those necessities. How did he put it? One of those things that's innate within you, like eating and drinking. So he said, it's like drinking. The guy said, yeah, but he said, you don't have to drink out of a dirty tumbler. True. See, now Lord said, love suffers long. It's kind. What he's showing here there is there's a greater principle in life other than simply wanting something manifested. In other words, there's a spirit to be reckoned with before you even want anything like that. See, in the way it gets. That's what he's talking about here. In other words, there's a way of life. Then he said, love suffers long and is kind. Well, right in here, he was setting the church in order, and he was saying some pretty rough things to people. And charity doesn't envy. Love doesn't vaunt itself up, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. And yet he's telling you over here that if you are out of a proper spirit, it doesn't matter what you produce, it isn't going to do you any good. Well, listen. Isn't that the same as what's over here in Luke? I don't know if I can even find it for you. As I say, I'm the worst guy in the world. What is that? The 12th chapter of Luke? I know. See, smart guys in the scripture tell me where in the world these. I don't know where. Yeah, he said, a parable of the ground of a rich man, in verse 16, brought forth plentifully. And Brother Branham said that was the rich man that Jesus liked and said, follow me, and he wouldn't do it. Now he said, what am I going to do? He said, like, oh man, have I got bumper crops. Boy, have I got bumper crops. Well, he said, this I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater, bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, you got a lot of goods, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you're going to die this night, you fool. Then who's through these things going to be? You've got a wrong spirit on you. Why don't you really do in the right spirit, in the right way, with what you got? And that's what this is all about here in this talk on Paul's giving here in 13 Corinthians. See? Sure. Absolutely. People should have in the church. And Brother Branham went so far as to say that you could have all the 9 gifts in the church. In one church. Well, I can tell you one reason why they haven't got them, because people don't want to use them right. See? Now he says here, love doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easy provoked, doesn't think evil, rejoices not in iniquity. Doesn't say, ha-ha, surgeon, right, that's what I guess I sure feel there. But rejoice in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Well, but now, whether there be prophecies, they're going to fail. In other words, there's evidently, there's something going to go on eternally that starts here that we'll need over there. And Brother Brown said, nothing but perfect love over there. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to get there. And he said, all they ever loved you and you ever loved them, he said, they're going to make it. So he said, what's Paul saying here? You've got a bunch of dead Baptists. Of course, they've been dead for centuries, and so are the rest of them. We're going to say, well, you see what it is. All this is gone. And now we got love. And they got love, and we got gifts. They got fat. If they had love, they'd have the gifts if they had love. But they just got some excuse for their backsliding and their deadness and the Nazarene church and the whole bunch of them. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. See? Now it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part should be done away. Now, all right. When I was a child, spake a child, understood a child, thought a child, became man and put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know even as I am also known. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now right in here, he's got not really an interpolation, but he is drawing some contrast. Now he said, I don't care how far you go with gifts, you'll only know in part. See? And prophesy in part. It's only, I don't care how far you go in the gift age. And you got them right here. There's a certain place where you come to a dead end. But when that which is perfect has come, now all the love in the world isn't going to produce it either. Won't do it. You can have the right attitudes, you can have the right everything, and you can have gifts manifesting. Like Brother Branham made a little quote on the word of wisdom. He said, the word of wisdom, is that spirit of the Lord is there, and a man with that gift, he can go to Scripture and answer any scriptural problem. Well, then who'd need a prophet? You wouldn't even need Brother Branham. So he wasn't saying that. Well, you can get gifts so glorified, and then Brother Branham mentioned something about practicing gifts. Then they take it to mean you get on the floor, stutter, stumble around until you get proficient. How in the world do you get a gift of God? Well, you can get gifts so glorified, and then Brother Branham mentioned something about practicing gifts. Then they take it to mean you get on the floor, stutter, stumble around until you get proficient. How in the world do you get a gift of God? You got to get proficient in it with accuracy. The only way you get proficient in is learning how to keep your spirit in such a way as to edify the whole church and do something right so that you'll be rewarded by God and the church goes on with Christ instead of looking at you and with him. Why, when the Pope can talk in tongues and prophesy, don't you make me try to think of some great howdy duty. See, we know him prophesy in part. And that was the first time, that was in part to be done away. And he saw as a child spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, became man of the childish thing. I see through glass darkly. Now here's what he's saying right here, even down the road. At the end of the perfection, the closing off and the polishing, the finishing, as Brother Branham said, there's got to be a ministry so perfect the headstone can come down to it. Well, there was that when the central headstone came, but I believe there's going to be something in the bride where the headstones are neater and nearer. And he's got to come down to it because we're rising, he's coming. It's a fallacy to think that he comes and sits there. It's a lot of hogwash. The Holy Spirit shakes us up where he is, and in just a minute that he is there, the Holy Spirit slips into him, and that becomes God incarnated. Just like River Jordan, so they got that all mixed up. Now we see through a glass darkly and face to face. Now I know him, practically I know him, I know him. Now what does he say that? What about that? He said that's going to come when you're no longer a child. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews and the fifth chapter and take a little peek at what he said about childhood. So we see also Christ glorified in all himself, he made a high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten me. And he said also another place, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek, forever. In the days of flesh, when he offered up praise and supplications, strong crying and tears, unto him they were saved to death, and was heard in his ears, and his son he learned to be by things he suffered. Now that's he's trying to get the same spirit across the Corinthian church. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them. Called of God, saluted, dreamed up of God, a high priest after the desert, of whom he had many things to say, and the heart of the other seeing your fellow human. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Bunch of babies using gifts. And they wouldn't come to manhood because they wouldn't let the right spirit amongst them.
My brother Brown said that when God said, I'm going to give you a new spirit, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's a new spirit in you over that old spirit you've got so the Holy Ghost can come in. Okay? Now, he's a baby. But strong, he belongs under a boy. Even who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. And Brother Brown's ministry, he had been hammered on discerning. And that discerning was how people going to some kind of a chance coming up between you, but they sat right there touching everything, just sitting there. And they didn't try to be superstitious. I love that. Is that that old Fred, what's his name, the clown? Talks that way, yeah. Yeah, they're superstitious. Hard. You got your senses exercised. I'll tell you what. You bring anybody around me for a little while, just don't take very long. And I'll just listen to him talk. There's no man living will not bear his soul when he talks. And just this one word, he's touching just like that, and you know where he's going. Now, I see that some gift, you know, gift to talk. Senses are exercised. I can tell a phony talking after, don't worry. I can tell a phony from a baloney if they're both phony balloons. I've had it happen time after time. Senses exercised. That's why the elders are cursed. There's got to be none of the spirit. Senses exercise. These people right here were depending everything on gift. The right spirit couldn't come around them. Now listen, he goes on to say, now right here we're looking at the fact that the actual time of the full revelation of where no longer are you looking in the glass darkly, which is the Word of God. I'll show you what over in 2 Corinthians. The third chapter, I think he tells you that. He says, but in verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. Our change the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now look at that, depends on beholding Him. Now how are you going to get your change if you're looking in the glass darkly? Now it says right here that you're going to know even as you are known. Alright, now I hope you caught it. Listen. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing the eyes and the soul and spirit. And joints and of the joints and marrow. Discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And no creature is but what is manifest in His sight. And all things are naked on the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And at that time is when that which is perfect has come. And you'll know what you're known. And it proves that you are known because you couldn't hide if you tried. 5,000 people standing right there. Now, I was one of those people that know you couldn't hide if you tried. Because if I just even was listening to him wrong, he said, hold him, you can get me. Hey, follow what I'm saying now? Here's scripture being fulfilled. It's your chronology of this hour. Got to put the church in order. Got to establish headship. Woman being the type of the church has got to come under submission. But man's got to come into submission first. That's why in that, and I'll tell you what, this is one thing I like about the ministry of this message, and I like about the churches, that the men are mostly in abundance over the women. And if anybody stays home, the woman gets mad and stays home, just doesn't want to come. The men are the ones. They're taking the headship under Christ. The women didn't find it hard to take the headship under man. This is ERA, era. That's the era. And in this so-called, this right to men, I don't care what they do. The women today have become the biggest fools on earth when they wanted their so-called equal rights. And now men got them just where they want. And the highest, very, very good. Let me tell you young women right now, if you want to fuss with your husband and say, well, I'll divorce you and get a big alimony, you are full of hot air and soup. Not even soup. Unless you made it a tip of the block of what he called a shadow, a tip in the trash, right? Because the law in Ohio goes by the community property will not award you your husband's wages, maybe 25% if he gets that. He's got ways of walking up. Oh. Women too late have learned they put their foot in their mouth in every place else too, and you got the ERA. Even Hollywood actresses, like Candace Bergen, has said, I was wrong. I shot my whole life, I should have married. Give the rest.
Just putting on it.
The proper spirit inculcated amongst the people. Like Brother Barron said, he said, don't say it was something unreal. And this is the time when we are not to teach you a glass doctrine. In other words, the Word of God is revealed. Now, do you know that that's exactly what it says in Acts, the 3rd chapter? Elijah's going to come and restore. See? Right down the line. Also, you know that's what it says in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Following that tremendous bit of what I was reading there, it concerning Melchizedek for the end time. And he said, but some belong to them who that are fully, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let it go on to perfection. Him at the end, manhood. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works and faith toward God. You don't know. The church has always stood for that. We have doctrine of baptism, laying on hands of resurrection, dead in the kingdom, and this will do God to it. But God didn't permit it that hour. And when God permits, what's going to happen? It's impossible for those who are once for all and ready, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the word of God. And that's exactly what they did back there in 12th century, 13th, 14th. See? Not if they shall follow, haven't fallen away. You'll never renew them to repentance. They'll never change their mind. They have crucified the Son of God afresh. What an open thing. The lizard seems to have been rain that comes off upon it. Brings forth herbs and meat. For them that are by whom it is yet. And you know what the rain is. The rain is the Word of God. The Bible's full of that. That's the type. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's all of this is rain. This is the Word. That was bringing forth thorns and briars. Sorrow and force the soul. Two times the feet were sent. Ever since the tree of the knowledge of good and evil stood there. God said, now you take it the right way, you take it the wrong way, you take it the wrong way. So now it's not a Christian, but I'm afraid of better things than you, and things that come to salvation, though we thus speak. You have to lay it on the line. You got stuff with him. Just like back there in the Christian church. They were all messed up. Didn't know which way they were going, hardly. See? Now, he says over here, in that 14th chapter, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, so rather you may prophesy. Now watch the comfort. For even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, think that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now right in here he says the prophecy, evidently as his other man gets the thought here, where a preacher is a prophet. Because they speak on the edification, exhortation, comfort, which is the word of God. And then he said, he'll be jealous of spiritual gifts. In other words, no, don't put them to one side and despise them, leave them alone, because you're going to take three something to get them right. That's the practical thing. Going in there and making sure your spirit's right. If you want to help somebody, notice what it says, to the edifying of the church. Man goes in there and says, I want to get something. God, get for me. What are you in there for? Well, I might hear from God. Watch you. Sometimes the Bible's full of indicated prophets, could then deal with the whole word. The 900 text is not 1100. Nothing to do with that. What's going on in the church? Burden on people's hearts. They're calling a cry unto God. People need help. God, help me to help people. I hear you say, practically. Trying to get the spirits under, trying to get our natures under, see? That's the whole picture. That's why he said, wherefore, he said, a man speaks in tongues, what does that do to a bunch of people? Why, the fellow had a bar and sat. Nobody else got any help. Then he said, if the whole church come together and you do this and do that, you're all the heads with each other, and you've got a mess until people say, hey, those guys are a bunch of nuts. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I know he wasn't wrong. But they tell me the army bought wonderful food for the men. For the lousy kids. That's the trouble. It wasn't the food, it was the cook. That's the way it is here. Nothing wrong with the things of Almighty God. It's the one who cooks in the camp. See? Now he said here, he said, that's a fact. What is that supposed to be, how the thing is supposed to progress? The prophet is supposed to speak a certain way and keep everything in order, and dealing in love for others and respect for others. You keep yourself under and you do the right thing. Women have their place, but they've got to be under subjection too, very much so in this particular place here. And then Paul said, what? He said, how is that? The people rebel. And he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, did you produce the word of God or did I produce it? Now he said, if anybody's a prophet or baptized with the Holy Ghost, he will know automatically that I am the one speaking for God, the word of God. That's why every single church thing says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he talks to one man in every age, and that man talks to everybody else. And you can tell right away if the people are born again. Because they listen. But they won't listen. And the Lord will listen. Now, and he said, if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Man, that's a slap in the face. How would you ask life? It's a democracy. Walk in or walk out, who cares? You happen to bet another church, part of the other church. What's wrong with it? You don't believe a prophetic message, you don't believe in something that's at least halfway vindicated, and you'll fall back on something that's not even anywhere near vindicated. When I was a little kid, I liked chewing gum so much, I didn't know any better than to pick up anybody's chewing gum and chew it. I got over that. Ignorance is ignorance, Paul. If you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. You say, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. You wouldn't put your lid on, say, don't do this and forget it. You say, you put it in order. But let things be done in right order. See, the word takes precedence. And it's supreme. And if you want to know where doctrine goes in life, it's always there that people are relying upon gifts. That's why Pentecost got what it is. Now after church is in order and Christ becomes the head, he goes on and he starts talking about the resurrection. And that's why I say the chronology line. See? People didn't realize it. Well, once Brother Brown put the church in order, and that's under the seventh seal. Which comes out the seventh under. Then he talks about the resurrection. And you will notice that Brother Brown tells the message. And he actually tells the message. Doctrine. There's a new Arizona, December the 4th, in the rapture. When you get the resurrection, the rapture, the whole thing, you're going to have to see. The cause. Now, I said, brethren, I tell you about this which I preach unto you, which you receive where you stand, by which you also say, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believe in me. And I know right away that many people say, well, now I just can't understand that. It doesn't work out at all, but I got news to you. He was quoting the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and where is that one? All right, let's find that one. And he says, well, that's the one I want. It's the one here about the mystery of the kingdom. And he said here that he that receives is discernment. Now, that when anyone hears the word of the king, understands it not, then comes the wicked one and casts away that discernment out. This is he that receives faith as seed by the wayside. That's what 19 verse. But he that receives the seed in thorny place, the same as he that hears the word of mine, enjoyment. He receives it, and he's got no root in himself. There's nothing in there. See, there's no place for the word. No place for the word to go down. He said, the Pharisee, you've got no place in your heart for my word. There's no room in there. And how in the world could the roots go down and get nourished? Because that's where the Holy Ghost goes. You hear. See? No roots. He goes along for a while, and then the tribulation of persecution comes. His wife is just sticking up where he is. The husband says, now, you better stick with mom and I'll stick with papa. Well, go there. Here you see, seed among the thorns, and he just hears the word and the cares of the world. Oh, this is the one to really watch, because this is Laodicea. Man, man, you can get caught up in just in trinkets and God knows what in you. and so he couldn't work there either. The deceitfulness of riches got too busy. See? But here that we see feeding the good guy, he could hear the word and understand it. It's very true. And it comes forth 3,600. That's up to the individual. He said, you keep in memory unless you believe in vain. How do you know how many people read this message in vain? That's why the greatest make me remember. I'll tell you what. Nobody knows even knows himself. I never say what. You watch me there, and the truth comes out, he's been defended. I knew then let the call to the other side. I ran once before. I said, I'd die if I would just run again, but I didn't have to eat my way. Do you really know? He said, what I'm trying to say here is I'm not trying to destroy anybody's faith. I'm just trying to let you know that there's nobody knows who is right except God. The foundation of God's trying to say, this is the Lord knows them as it is. Believe me, and if you want to get that 8th chapter of Romans, you'll find out what the bride could go through. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, making this perilous sword, killed all that belong to thy faith. We're more than conquerors. Because he loves it. We got something. See? And we go through with him. Now, I believe unto you first, how that Christ died, for our sins according to the scripture. And when that was thrown in the Jews' face, they laughed. They said, well, we don't believe it anyway. He buried again, rose the third day according to scripture. That, of course, the first one is Isaiah 53 and Psalm 16 also. Then he was seen as people, then a child, and then about 500. That's about 512 something, maybe 700. Who knows? Not very many of the children. See? Then you see me. I'm going out of these seasons. See? And he said now, in verse 12 of that 15th chapter, now did Christ be preached against the dead? I say some among you, there is no resurrection. Now they were having all the gifts of having them all, but that this injunction was wrong. Anybody can come together. Anybody can come together, brother, sister, let's see it. On gifts. And even on Hebrews the 6th chapter, found repentance and deadly faith toward God, baptism, laying on him, resurrection, eternal judgment. Let's go there. They'll get by the immediate. Now they were a long time buying gifts from the Pentecostal, but not the 6th chapter of the Bible. Me at Pentecost, about 100,000 will be needed before it's over, because I'm going to pour my spirit upon you, and we'll all pray. That's why I kind of believe it, and I preach it, but I don't preach it and go on north. I just read the book that's going to come out of America. There's going to be so much just like Jesus said, that you're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fellow, that you're going to say, ah, here he is. Well, remember, he didn't come the way he thought. He's already here. Here he is. He's already come the way he didn't think he'd come in here. Been here for years. I said, bug me and bought myself everybody else. Nobody paying attention to me. Here, nobody paying attention. But long as you stay with the word, don't worry, you'll come out of it. Now, if there be no resurrection, take up the dead, and if Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, you're preaching his name, your faith is vain, you're a false witness to God, because you say that God raised him up, and God didn't raise him up, that the dead raised not. For if Christ be not risen, and Christ is not raised, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. In other words, glorification is the end of God's acceptation. Because God had to accept Jesus. And the proof of the acceptation in his death was the fact that he raised it. Now, if you're really accepted by God in the blood, given by the Holy Ghost, you can no more need glorification than nothing. See? Now, and I'll tell you another thing about it too. Those that here could be, who are left after the rapture, must be in their sins in some way. Now, come on, it says right there. They're saved, but they've been born again. But the Holy Spirit will still be standing there because of the blood at the end time to receive eternal life. All right. It says, and they also which have fallen asleep will perish, forget. Heaven, Peter, all those men too. Even this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we have all men made visible. Tells you there's got to be an afterlife, there's got to be a resurrection. But he said, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sin? For since by man came death, by man came after resurrection. Oh, nothing out of all that in Christ shall be made on. Yes, but every man in his own order. Now Christ the first fruit. Afterward, my son has already died early. But he's talking to these Gentiles. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia. See? He's got to be there to reason. And I remember he's talking about the mortal body.
I'm talking about the one that's down on. He says a second pitch is about him, about that body. He said, do you know if I wish you had to do something out there, it's all better to build him without a house, not maybe a hand to turn him in it. And if he's gone, he'll put it down, he could have done the house, he doesn't have it.
Well, I look down here, isn't it?
Down here, here. Here's one of those. Take it down and call the Giotin. Give me a straight man, you love me. What do you count now? If so be told, if you say that being told you should not be found out, but even if the Christian begins in vain, not that he's uncalled, but called upon, that mortality might be swallowed up again. See? In other words, there's just one thing here. You're out of it. We're going to go ahead, very generous, and that same word here, mortality, swallowed up away, is the very same thing he is talking about down here. At the end time, before the rapture. Our bodies get changed, and we get caught up moving in the air. That's the same body. Now, he that arises for the same thing as God, is also given us the energy spirit. In other words, the baptism of the Holy Ghost guarantees you that you will have a body to go to, and guarantees you have a body here raised to dead. And that's your own body when you're living it all the rest of eternity. It says the first fruit at his coming. The fruit. And I want to know if that includes 143,000. Because his presence is here right now, and that presence already knows, the same telephone knows who that 144,000 is, and at the right time, the Spirit, in its measure, will see every one of those into Christ. Everything wrong, because they are going to be in the first resurrection. Now, then comes Jesus, and then he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to God, even the Father, and he shall have put all things. I put down all rules and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has the king of angels under his feet. Now he's telling you here that this begins when he created the eye. Come on now, look at it. I'm not telling you stuff, I'm telling you the chronology. How do you mean you have it? Afterwards, the word of Christ said he's Perusia. Come right down here, clothed in the word. Read in the 25th of the prophet, unveiled to us by the veil of the word. Then comes the end. And he shall build up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, after the preacher, it lets you know flat that there's nowhere to go except into eternity. He's talking about a bride. For he must be with all things under his feet. And he takes the right strong judgment, the renovation of the earth over the now. And the last enemy destroyed his death, that's in the earth of him. For he has put all things under his feet. And that's the statement that God has done to Jesus and for Jesus. This is the point. So when he says all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is left out. That's not ACC, but ESC, that's right. He should put all things under him. In other words, there never is a time when God is not the head of Christ. You know, Pentecost gets into the area and they're so messed up and pitiful. If they had an idea, there's no real resurrection and all that's going to be here is you will hear all of God. Like a plethora. Maybe what do you call that? The old Greek word for a long time. Now what? And when all things shall be subdued unto him, and he starts with the Perusia. You follow me? See? The chronological order. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now I'm going to show you this very, very simple. Now here's what I want to show you. Yeah? I'll mess up just the right to Philippians, 3rd chapter. Here we go. And if I want to go someplace else, I'll just go someplace else. I may be getting him if I hear him, that's all right. Okay, verse 10. Now they know whom the Father's resurrected, and the fellowship is suffered, being made conformable unto his death. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, no sir, unto the outer resurrection of the dead. What? Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. And after the same old word in there, doesn't mean you come to place a great perfection with. Bless God, you are just like God himself, so you are, in the sense of what union with Jesus Christ. You have become the righteousness of God. He's talking now as already being saved. But the whole thing is over because, you see, he's talking about the first resurrection, the other resurrection. Now he tells you that he's not entered into it. You have a testimony for people to believe this message. Not as I had already attained, either the point that I follow after, with that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. In other words, I am a part of it. See? And I wonder if I'm going to be caught into it, living here, walking here. Now it's already here, but he can't take it because the eye might not be ready. It's like he said, laying aside all these gods that go to Jesus, and this was it, God put it, but God did not permit. That's what he knows. Whether I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God is the post-first resurrection. Now he said, here, forgetting those things which are behind, right about Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's why I say you should have the most, because here's how I'm getting messed up and out of my skull. Because I don't put it on paper to follow it point by point. Now is it? Verse 17 says, after this portion where he speaks of going up into Christ, and the finishing up, this I say therefore in testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, forgetting those things which are before, behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before. How many people have really come out of the denomination that they think they came out of? In this message. I'll tell you flat. Some people here might not like the fact that your pastor sees certain people out of his system. Let me tell you flat, I advise him. Personally, and you continue to do so. You never let certain people in the church. And he's got his own thoughts too, as well as mine. And I'm not trying to run it, you can try to see it later if you want to stay right here. But you're the prophet. I'll tell you why. Because the Pentecost is going back to Pentecost. They haven't forgotten. When God forgets, he forgets. It's gone. There's a bunch of people running around right now that have not left their denominational thinking. They're preaching their dogmas and their backgrounds, and they won't do it. And that's probably the very best that you can say about anybody back there is being virgin. You're all gone. They had a record gone. Now, he said right here, at this one time, the very end promise is I will forth. Now listen, I read it here. Henceforth no more children cast to and fro, children inside of doctrine, in the seven men of coming out here by the way to the feet, but keep it holding the teaching up unto him. And you go up unto him, there's no place to go but answer. Now see, it's just a hand. Even Christ, from whom the whole body fit rejoining in the fact that every joint supplies the glory and effect of working in the measure of every part, make it increase the body of the edifying of the self in love. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, if you henceforth walk out as other Gentiles have done in the bond of your mind, that is a picture of it. How will you understand these doctrines? Now you see, Christ is going to come. Now that's John the Baptist. Thanks for reading the Bible. But the earth getting burned at that time. Even Trump feels good. Only part was with him. Yeah, but we believe John the Baptist is in him. You think they're going to change him? Well, some wagon lady came by the other day. I talked around and I said, look, I said, you just forget what I said. Don't confuse you. You know, like you see our pastor, so I got a picture of him, he's got hair down to here. Like I'm out. Like I'm out. I don't quite can do with that kind of stuff. Doesn't mean to get the haircut out of things, it just means to think there's something wrong somewhere. And I said, look, he believes in two gods and he's still 2 years right now. But if he became. I said, I'm going to ask you something. He said, do you believe that Jesus, the man that raised the dead, is on the mercy seat behind the throne of God? He said, yes. I said, well, you're all wrong. Because the Bible says he's a man. He said, you should read the Bible. He said, yeah. I said, I'll write the book of Ephesians. Read the Trinitarian. He said, he that came down and died, went to hell, and rose again, came back with the Holy Ghost, and I threw him down. And that's the reason why. I said, I won't confuse you. Forget what I said. I just remember one thing, boy. Keep your mind open, something may happen. All the denominations I don't know what to do. I don't worry about you. That's your business. You turn my way, you turn my house, I'll talk to you. Keep taking, God bless you. They haven't taken it out, and I'm going to need it. Come on, the word is God. Don't you mother tongue shall be coming to you. You believe the word, what is it, God? The word is God, now things in the Lord God. How many Lord God will you got? How many gods you got? Then you're on the way, you pocket full of posts. Which one sits down, that's the father, next one sits down. You can start your highly different from that.
You have any understanding, God? What is that? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. How could you have the Holy Ghost in Jesus? How do you have the Holy Ghost and be blind? 7:20. Third chapter again. Now listen. Verse 14 to the 9th of God, until this day remains the same day and taken away, and the reading of the Old Testament which Baal is done of own sight. But even under this day, Moses gave the Baal is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what? The man shall turn to the Lord, the Baal shall be taken away. And what's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of that man. That's why death and birth. I tell you, I burn every time I think of that guy from New Zealand coming over here sir. And getting up in that pit and he's saying, repentance is that feeling you know you have, it's over for sin. The Bible says God leaves sorrow. That's right, Jesus. But it's not repentance, repentance is changed for me. Mary Baker Eddy, she really messed things up and she came and said, God is universal mine and faith is only mine. He did just what the devil wanted. And tell me, that's what he was feeling and a whole bunch of them. It's in your mind. The proper mental attitude toward any promise you're going to have to have. You keep in mind. Easy. Easy. Run away. Fourth chapter. Now, listen, who being Christians have given themselves over to seditious? The major sink and sex problem in the home today sits under the carpet. Now coming to light is Jesus. It wasn't just for the war on society coming in at one time. My wife will take 2 old grandfathers that even got their granddaddy's pregnant. There's a girl in this message that tell you how to hear a man that whose wife will not believe he's a dirty, rotten old chump, have their girl committing all sex with him. Good old grandpa. Now, good old grandma. Is it another grandson? Sisters and brothers, lasciviousness. They said a couple Sundays ago, you go and look at magazines or pictures, and I'll tell you what it is here. A Pompeii, which was a city of sin, and God destroyed to their rottenness. You can pick up a magazine, set a magazine in our county here, which makes the city of Pompeii look like a virtuous kingdom. Talk about pity for me. I'm not going to get legitimate. That's just fine. It's good for me. God ordained. But anything else is. You better be able to say that yet one time. I can get this other word here exactly about sexual intercourse and going on. You got me to upset. So my wife, she got her pipe on with the sister Brown.
And so she went to Sister Ben. Sister Ben said, no, Sister Ben, you misunderstood. She said, you just don't know the fish that goes home and home. What Ben wants her eyes to do. And if you want her to do anything other than that, which is truly strictly legitimate, that which is proper, if you have the Holy Ghost, I'll just say one thing. I don't know what happened to you. Impossible. Lasciviousness. The work all uncleanness with Jesus. The two kinds of things, greed and sex, and water. You think of that in the churches? You do not so learn to tell. Now listen. If so be your head, in the way to meet him, that is not the way. Did somebody drink? At the end time, this is what's going on. Christ himself brings the truth. Christ himself brings the word. As the truth is in Christ, he reveals himself giving you the truth. Isn't that exactly what's happening in the first chapter over here? That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ has done when he said the written revelation of knowledge of him. And I was understanding him, you know what he's calling, which is God, you know him if he knows you. If the wife doesn't know the husband, as the husband knows the wife, this is a problem somewhere. He better get a delight so she can pick your cotton, pick her brains, and get out of there. You shouldn't have to have a delight to pick your brains. You didn't have it my way. She just took you after a minute. She pulled that stuff on me. One thing I really have been burning my cross. I'll be honest, it's the king of the day. But you can make it. That's going to mean a lot of respect, a lot of business. A lot of letting down the hill. A lot of giving truth in the right way. It should take everything I did. That's what some of you know. You was a public, and some of you remember being hurt. I don't mean that generally is in your truth, but I mean truth. I'll take this back. I do mean it right here, but maybe not to do with it. Maybe you do. That's it. There's no way you need anything in the bank, and that's the best thing. She could have everything in that. She could have anything anyway. She's far more than I did. She could have more than I knew in that. And yes, yeah, she could have it. She could have it all. I wouldn't say it one bit better. I would feel bad if it just got blown with sugar or something. I feel bad for you because you still got it. Come down on me. Well, what are you supposed to do? This is what it's all about. The bride knows her name. Are you just going to see it? Poor old Job got there, he's like, he's a stranger to him. I think that's about who you wish to work. He's had a good marriage, and he's had a good marriage. What could you do if he's just tired of it? He's not. Good. You put off your behavior. This is kept according to the sheep of life. Isn't the sheep the end time? They remain in the spirit of your mind. And that's where you get into the action. Romans the prophet says, did you know that you make an action in your mind? Which is a fear. You're not confident in the dead. You're not in the resurrection. You're going to answer the fear of life. How do you do it? But if that's easy. Have the future better than the nature of God. This one, talk to the woman. You can think your body's ready to sacrifice. Your body's ready. The suffering is going to lose your service. You can't be conformed to this world, fasting after this world. You've got to be honest with yourself. He's fasting in you. He's fasting with you. But do you transcend, change in the future of your body? Transfigure. And you need your mind. You may prove it as a good term to the will of God. You're right back to perfection. You know the vision. He the fellow who can't take him out walking darkness, but he that seeks the following thing over the back. Not cook. And a bunch of Pharisees came against Jesus Christ. He hasn't got a cook and get cooked in the back. Like that. He was a man, and God's got a phone. Then he called him to the Lord and said, that's how you're going to get the king. Then he put away your eyes, keeping every man. the peace of his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The cardinal sin at the end time is leading to each other. And Paul has set the Ephesian church in order. And then make sure it's all made up in corner. He's a good place to go. What is a good place to go? Having to give a fish. Then if you saw more, if you can't do that, you can get it going. And you don't do the Holy Ghost for a bunch of your dimension. Put it in the building to the atom. You can speak among you, all matters.